Welcome along to another special off-season quarantined pedestrian podcast with just myself, Stuart Court. Tonight on this week's episode, we have a different perspective on things with the draft, the cup just less than 2 weeks away, and the unique surroundings with it. We have one of my draft 2020 gems and favourite players in this class, which is weird to say, and he's listening to me say this. But we are joined by Southern Illinois defensive back Madre Harper. Welcome to the pedestrian podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Massively appreciate you taking the time to jump on. It must be a weird, exciting time, not just with the current situation in the world, but with the draft just 2 weeks away for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely, you know, blessed to be in this position, even be, you know, considered as a draftable prospect. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of different, obviously, from other years being, you know, we didn't, you know, get to get, like, I guess the full experience because of being locked up in quarantine and everything. But I mean, I'm still very blessed to be here and I'm still excited, you know, for what's come next. And I'm still keeping myself in shape and, you know, being prepared.
So how's the process been? Obviously, there's no like 30 visits, no team visits this year. It's all Skype and FaceTimes. How's the process been for you?
It's been pretty good. I mean, obviously, like, you know, like you said, a lot of phone calls. People don't get to get those workouts. So I do try to, you know, record some of my workouts and post to social media and get those out to certain teams. And then, like you said, not able to have, like, the visits and stuff like that. Yeah, I wish I could have that experience. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's still business. And then, still, you know, all the gyms are closed and everything like that. So you have to find different ways to work out. So, you know, find myself doing more push-ups, sit-ups, going to the park, running, doing sprints. You know, I guess what people used to do back in the day before they had, you know, gyms and stuff.
Yeah. It's the end goal is still the same at the end of the day, isn't it, I guess?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah, you definitely still got to get your work in. I feel like if you're, you know, you say you're an elite level athlete and I want to be a pro, there's no excuse for you not working out and not getting active and, you know, not being prepared. Because I feel like some people are going to go into camp and not be in shape. And I feel like that's going to be the difference. I'm going to still be right on track. And some people may not, you know, took it as serious as I did.
Yeah. So as I told you, when I was trying to get you onto the podcast, I mocked you about 2 weeks ago, my one and only attempt so far at a mock draft to the Seahawks. But one reason, I guess, with you wearing 25 at Southern Illinois, was Sherm someone you watched on your way up? And like,
most definitely. In particular? Most definitely. Definitely came 25 because of Richard Sherman. I liked watching him because, one, I feel like we both have the same body types and kind of have the same mentality on the field, and they'll both have a high level of, you know, IQ. And that's one of the dudes I kind of like patterning my game after, you know, studying and being prepared for every game. And yeah, he may not have the best athletic ability, but he's still out there making plays, doing the thing. Now I feel like, you know, I'm a little faster than him in different areas, but I mean, I obviously it's my dream to meet him one day, you know, just have a conversation with him, and that'd just be crazy. But yeah, definitely why we're 25 is because of him.
Yeah, so watching you with my very, very untrained eye, how different is what you were asked to do technique-wise and what you've been coached at OSU and Southern Illinois? How different is what Seattle ask of their DBs, do you think, to what you're experienced in?
Mm-hmm. Well, with OSU, we did, you know, we play in the Big 12, so there's a pro-style offense, so there's a lot of passing plays. It does move fast, you know, going against people like Baker Mayfield and, you know, Patrick Mahomes, stuff like that. So we were able to do, I'm not going to say more of what we wanted, but there was no, like, restraints, if that makes sense. Like, you could basically, if you, you know, the technique that you wanted to use to press, if that worked for you and that, you know, fit into our defense, you were kind of allowed to do it. And then at SIU, he did have certain ways where he wanted to do certain things, just based off of, in the Big 12, more pass heavy, and the Missouri Valley is more run heavy into the teams. You know, some games that I think we played, like Indiana State my senior year, I think they threw three passes the whole game. So, you know, obviously technique's going to be a little different.
Yeah. So when the Seahawks, before the Seahawks drafted Russell Wilson, nearly a decade ago now, but he went from NC State to Wisconsin because he wanted to show NFL teams that he could do different offenses, run different offenses to the same level. Is that something that you hope your tape at Oklahoma State and Southern Illinois would show, that you've managed to transition and translate to two different systems?
Yes, sir, definitely. Just be able to come from two different defenses and learn them very quickly and go out there and execute them at a high level. And also, like you said, just being in different programs and different systems show that I am versatile and that I can play press and I can play zone, that I will come and tackle. And, you know, a big thing for me is that I will play special teams. I've been playing special teams my whole career of football since a little kid up into college. So to show those type of things is very helpful for me on my tape.
Yeah, well, obviously playing at a small school like Southern Illinois, you are going for the same stage that the guys, that the players who play in the title games in January and everything. But does that aid a chip on your shoulder through this whole process and while you're playing? Like you know?
Oh, most definitely, because I feel like I'm a high caliber player, and I also feel like I feel like I could do it at a big school, do it at a small school. And yeah, I didn't go to a big school from Oklahoma State. Now, you know, I mean, it's like that, you know, things happen. I'm still blessed with my path. But yeah, I definitely tip on my shoulder because I feel like people are kind of underestimating me. And I feel like if I went to like a bigger school or something, that may have put me more on the map. But I feel like I've been the same elite level athlete my whole entire life. And like you said, I do have a chip on my shoulder because people feel like come from a small school or something like that, that, you know, you're not facing the same type of people or the same type of skill set. But I want to show people that, hey, I'm just as high caliber as anybody else. And I feel like I'm a top 10 DB in the draft and can't wait to show that.
So what any NFL team, hopefully the Seahawks, when they select you in a couple of weeks, what are they getting from day one, whenever that may be with the current situation?
I mean, day one, they're going to get a person that's going to work hard and be, you know, 100% for the team. You know, I'm really a kind of loyalty kind of guy. And whoever takes a chance on me, they're going to get everything they have of me on and off the field. You know, won't cause any trouble, not providing any baggage. And somebody who's going to work hard, you know, who's going to go there, do the right things and soak up as much knowledge as I can. Because, you know, just like you transition from high school to college, you got to learn how to play college ball. And from college to NFL, I got to learn how to play NFL ball. But I definitely feel like I can contribute to a team right away, whatever it is, whether it's playing corner or being that backup or being going down on special teams. I feel like I contribute enough. You know, a team will get that, and they'll get that from me, and we'll have no problems. And a good teammate, for one, you know, really bond with them and be somebody they can add to the building of somebody's team.
Yeah. So one of the guys we've had on this podcast before, he does a lot of Seahawks draft centric stuff, and he's been banging the drum for you to be a Seahawk, hopefully in a couple of weeks. And he's put a draft board up, and he has like specifications, and he's got like the height, the weight, the arm length, the 40 times and everything, and every single one bar the 10-yard split, which he doesn't have, you've passed. Is that something you can like hang your hat on, that you clearly, when it come down to workout on pro days or wherever he got these numbers from, is that you put your best numbers up on the board kind of thing?
Most definitely, I feel like that definitely helps a lot. I mean, I did put up elite level numbers, and if you compare my numbers to anybody that went to the combine or anybody else, you'll see that I'm up there with them. And I mean, I could always do this. And I mean, I feel like I could have ran a little faster though, but you know, it'd be like that. But yeah, I definitely feel like that's good for teams to see that. Yeah, I mean, I came from SIU, but I, first of all, can't forget I did go to a Power 5 out of high school, and I did have like 40 offers. So I had that ability, and to show them, okay, this is somebody who, you know, who's putting up these type of athletic numbers. Like, okay, we got to take a good look at him. So I'm definitely happy that I performed well and God allowed me to do that. And I definitely feel like that will intrigue teams and make a team be like, okay, this is somebody we need to take a chance on.
While you're playing in college football and you see like the Seahawks have a certain style of DB, like you said, you watch Sherman, that's why you're 25. They have like the arm length, which is 32 inches. Do you kind of look at that or read that and then kind of go, oh, maybe that could be a good fit for me, or just not pay any attention, and then just wherever you go kind of thing? Is that something you pay attention to?
Yeah, most definitely. You definitely got to look at schemes, you know, what type of corners do certain teams like or have drafted in the past. Not saying teams can't change, but, you know, you definitely look at all that to see what would be a good fit. Because, you know, some dudes go to certain teams, it may not be the right system for their strengths. And obviously a team's going to try to put you in the best possible, you know, ability and chances when you go out there with your strengths. But yeah, definitely Seahawks does fit me very well and what they do. You know, my teammate Trey Flowers and Chris Carson, they play there. You know, obviously talking to Trey, you know, I feel like I fit really well with those guys, and I could definitely play their system and go right in there and help out, you know, whether it's being the backup or, you know, just doing whatever. I definitely feel like I contribute to them, and I definitely feel like Seahawks would be a great fit if they decide to draft me, and you know, that'd be definitely really cool.
You are someone I really hope the Seahawks come out that draft weekend with. But on Trey Flowers, obviously he went from a day three pick, who's a safety at Oklahoma State, wasn't he? And now he's a starting corner for the Seahawks in the NFL.
Yes, sir.
Is that how quickly he made that transition from a college safety to a starting NFL corner? Is that something that's been a boost for you through this process and like following in his footsteps, as the cliche goes?
I mean, that's big bro for real. I mean, I talk to Trey all the time. He's giving me a lot of helpful tips and told me to enjoy the process. And yeah, I mean, that really could be me. Yeah, it could be a day three pick. and go to a team, really contribute. And it was really awesome to see Trey do that. Especially, he also made the transition from safety to corner.
Yeah.
Like, he covered a little bit in college, but, you know, obviously corner is a lot more than a safety. And to see him make that transition, it was, you know, really great to see. And, you know, him, you know, being a fifth rounder and then getting a starting, you know, starting spot. I mean, we were so happy for him. And, you know, obviously he's happy for him and his family. And like you said, yeah, that could be something that, I mean, I feel like I can do, you know, regardless of what round I go in. I feel like I'm a first, second round talent. So, you know, every team gets me, they're going to get a really good player.
Yeah. So obviously in high school, it seems that players play four or five different positions. What was it that made you like focus all your skill set and your abilities on the cornerback position, defensive backfield? What was it that kind of focused in on that?
So growing up, I wore 34 because of Walter Payton. I played running back growing up. So, you know, sweet feet, you feel me? So, like, that was really kind of, like, who I looked up to. My dad being, like, old school dudes. I watched a lot of old school people like that. And when I got about, like, the 7th, 8th grade, I was playing running back. I mean, I was still good. I was fast. But I really wasn't gaining no weight, and I was getting taller. And then my dad knew that, you know, obviously not going to be able to take that abuse like that in, you know, high school and everything. So by 8th grade year, made the transition to go to corner. And my dad also made, because, you know, I could have been a receiver or something. My dad didn't want me to depend on, you know, a QB. Because a lot of receivers are good, but if the QB can't get in the ball, they can't really make a name for themselves. And we felt, he knew that, my dad had some type of feeling that taller corners, especially the way I could move and the way I could, my feet were, I was going to be a commodity. And we, you know, by 8th grade year, made that switch. And I mean, I had no problem with it. I like defense. I like to hit people. So it fit perfectly. And I started putting my whole time, energy in that. And then, you know, that's kind of how that took off.
So obviously around that time, that'd be when Richard Sherman, Brandon Browner, Cam Chancellor were
the Legion of Boom. They was going crazy. Yes.
So when you saw that, must have been like big props to your dad. He's might have put me on the right track here kind of thing, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah, most definitely. When I started seeing people like him, Brandon Browner, Richard Sherman, because, you know, those were like, and then, you know, Pat P, he kind of tall too. So like that, you're seeing players like that. Because, you know, before DBs, they're not going to say small, but they're just a little shorter. I mean, there's like 5'8", 5'9", guys. And to see somebody at that length playing that position, I was like, okay, I know I can do this. And I felt like I have feet and hips just like some of the smaller dudes. So I was like, oh, yeah, I can definitely do this.
Yeah. What are your teammates at Southern Illinois getting a lot of early or late day one, early day two action, it seems, with all the mock drafts and Jeremy Chin? What would the NFL team get with him? Because watching him is how you popped to Jeremy Chin. So what would the NFL team get with him if any scouts maybe listen to this?
I mean, Chin's a great player. I mean, he definitely earned it. Came from, you know, high school not having many offers and going to SIU, making the best out of it. He's a great player. You're going to get a great tackler, somebody who's going to work hard and, is a leader. And they're going to get a good player. I mean, Chin deserves it. And I feel like he's going to go first round. If he goes second round, it'll be early. So teams are going to get a great play for sure.
Yeah, so there's when Pete Carroll and John Schneider in Seattle, there are a few examples of them double dipping into a college. I mean that must be a pretty cool prospect of you and Jeremy Chin being reunited up in Seattle come the fall, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, most definitely. Somebody I played with, comfortable with, we all go in, experience the same thing together, and I know we're both going to put in work, and it's going to be great. And like you said, you know, a lot of people saw me just watching his tape, because, you know, I kind of like underneath the radar, I guess, like that, you know, whatever people call it. I mean, I wasn't getting exposure that I really wanted, but, I mean, that's just how life is. But yeah, it'd definitely be great to be on team with him, and that'd be really cool.
Read an interview, actually did some research for this podcast, and you said that the song that best describes you is Hustling by Rick Ross. Is that true?
Yeah. Yes, so sir.
I'll get to another question, but why that track and why Rick Ross?
I mean, I feel like I've been hustling my whole life. I mean, I've been putting in this grind for a very long time. And if you ask any of my coaches from high school, middle school to elementary, I mean, I've been playing football since I was 5. I've been working out. I'm not just like the average kid who kind of like just fell into this. Nah, this has been destined for me since, you know, a long time, putting in the work. You know, our kids on Saturdays are, you know, going, watching cartoon stuff. I was running hills Saturdays in you know, elementary. I ran track. I did Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And, you know, I played instruments. I was on the go. I did gymnastics. I mean, I did a whole bunch. I've been training for this forever. I mean, you know, not doing spring breaks, not taking vacation because I'm going to football camps. I'm going to training. You know, while other kids are going to practice and going home, I'm going to practice and then putting even more work in the off season, in the summer. So I've just been preparing this for my whole life and been hustling, having to get it. So, you know, I can do this for my family and, you know, take care of them.
Alongside hustling, what else would you bring to a locker room Orcs lead if you were given the rookie responsibility? What other tracks would be your go-to in the locker room?
My other tracks we go to probably be some Roddy Ricch, because he fire right now. And then some Soda Baby, rapper out of Detroit. A lot of people don't know about him. A lot of people do, but he hard. So I did a locker room, we'll mess with that. And then, you never know, I might bring out a little Tim McGraw, a little country. Don't take that girl. You know what I'm saying? For the other people. So, yeah, I like music. So I listen to a lot of different stuff, for sure.
Yeah, well, the Outlandic Podcast, they have the techno music thing. And I think it's a bit of Marmite. I think it's a bit love or hate relationship up in Seattle. So
I ain't got no problem with the house music and the techno and stuff. I can vibe with it. I ain't got no problem with it.
So obviously you talked about playing football from when you were 5 years old. I mean, that it kind of seems from this side of the Atlantic that's almost the thing you have to do growing up in Texas, isn't it? Is you play ball the minute you're able to, really.
Right.
I mean, that's the Texas thing, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, sir. Texas, I mean, football is really big. Everybody knows that. I mean, Texas could be its own country. I mean, football is really big here. Sports is really big. And that's something you do if you want to be great. Whether it's basketball, football, baseball, you got to start when you're young, and you got to put the work in when you're young so you can live like a king later on. So, I mean, obviously, yeah, I missed out on a lot of things, but I feel like I had a great childhood to prepare me for this moment. But, yeah, looking back, yeah, maybe I didn't do as many birthday parties or I didn't do as many this and that, but, I mean, I didn't care. I was happy going on the field and playing and, you know, my dad being the coach, being able to spend time with my dad. So, I mean, I loved every bit of it. It made me into the player I am today, and you definitely got to start young if you want your son to be elite at least.
Yeah, so obviously it's a different vibe to the draft, as I said earlier. If you got any draft party plans, obviously Zoom and things like that are pretty popular. Have you got any plans to watch the draft unfold in a couple of weeks?
I'm not going to have a party. It's going to be here with my family. You know, we start together. We're going to end together. And, I mean, I'm just going to be in the house. I'm going to wake up early. I'm going to work out because I still have to work out. No draft or no draft. And I'm going to pray. Me and my family are going to pray, and we're just going to watch the draft and be thankful for whatever happens. Whether I get drafted or don't get drafted, I'm not mad. I'm not angry. I know that I'll get a shot. And then when I get there, I'm going to put the work in. So it's going to be chilling, working out, and, you know, just relaxing.
So one of the coolest things of the Seahawks draft weekend is that the social team up in Seattle put the video calls of the calls, videos of the phone calls they make to the players. Have you, like, visualized or mentally prepared for that phone ringing in a couple of weeks?
I mean, like, I kind of thought about it, but I don't know. I didn't put too much thought in it. Like,
no.
I don't know. It feels weird because it's like, you know, you've been looking. I've been seeing my friends get drafted. And then, you know, when you're young, you've been looking at all those stories, all those videos, everything. And it's just like, and like next week, 2 weeks, like, that's going to be me. And I don't know. It's just kind of weird. Like, I don't even know how to feel, but I'm very excited, honestly. And I don't know. I probably might cry or something because I've been working for this a long time. And, you know, any athlete, we go through ups and downs, injuries, you know, good things, bad things in our career. And so it just feels really good to be in this moment.
Well, a couple more things. What Southern Illinois is not a college who is always on my radar.
Yeah.
because of you and Chib. What is playing for the Salukis? What was that like for the last couple of years?
I mean, playing there my 2 years was a great experience. Got to meet a lot of great dudes, a lot of great coaches, and just have a whole different atmosphere. Because, I mean, I've never been to Illinois, never had a reason to. So be able to be in a different part of the country was really cool. And, you know, obviously it doesn't really snow that much in Texas, but obviously seeing snow like that was crazy. And then, you know, like you said, it was great playing with them guys and just like I said, different part of the country, just to be a part of that process and be a part of the chain. Because, you know, they weren't that good before I got there. And then my first year there, we didn't do too hot. And but by senior year, we had we rose up in our season. It's still not over. But they definitely coming with a 7-5 record was definitely really good. And I was, you know, thankful to be a part of that change.
Yeah. So over your whole college career, who are some of the best receivers or offensive players you've played with or played against? So you mentioned Chris Carson, Trey Flowers. Anyone else who you popped?
Getting to play against, you know, DK Metcalf. That was great to see him. Playing with James Washington, you know, for the Steelers. I mean, a great player. I mean, that man's a dog. He's a really good player. He's a good dude. Like, a really good dude. And what else I'd have to say? Yeah, those are probably, like, the main two that, you know, was, like, really great players I got to play against. And I'm like, you know, wow, I'm glad that I got that experience and got that, you know, experience from them.
Do you have a preference of who you play against? Obviously, there's the DK Metcalf, there's like the Cole Beasleys of the world. Do you have a preference who you play against, or do you like that mano battle out on the sideline, 1v1 kind of battle?
It don't matter. Whoever lines up is a sad day for them. I mean, like, I'm a competitor. I'm an alpha. So, I mean, to me, like, I think of when I'm playing football, like, when I'm going against a receiver, you know, he's trying to take food off of my plate. He's trying to embarrass me and my family. So I have to dominate him. And I like football where I can hit another grown man relentlessly and, you know, not get in trouble for it. So I just like to dominate. So it doesn't matter who, doesn't matter slot, outside, doesn't matter. I mean, I'm going to go at it. I'm going to give my best effort. And, you know, I'm trying to win. So yeah. I'm just a competitor.
I love that answer. So is it any, like, round status for you, or are you just kind of taking it as it comes in the next couple of weeks?
I mean, you know, everybody had different opinions, you know, different things that they're hearing. But I mean, some people say I could go late rounds. Some people say I may be able to sneak in the fourth, depending on, you know, what teams are getting. I mean, I don't know. It's really kind of up in the air how the draft would go for me. But I mean, I'm pretty confident I'm going to get drafted. My agent feels pretty good about it, and I've been praying for it. And I know God's going to do that for me. Just what round? I mean, I'm not really sure. But I mean, I'd be really fine with anything. Just to hear my name called is just an experience that, you know, not many get to have. So I'd just be grateful for anything, honestly.
Yeah. So my co-host, who's having to miss this week, he always asks our guests from America, because he's a caterer by trade, he always asks about their favorite or least favorite food. So I kind of feel I have to, like, do his bidding for him this week. Do you have a favorite go-to food, or one you would, if you saw on the table, you'd throw it out or walk out the room?
What can it has to be dessert, or got to be like a real dinner?
Anything, starter, main, dessert, any. Starter, main, dessert, okay, any.
So my main will probably be, I'm a big pizza guy. I know that's kind of like basic, but I'm a big pizza guy. Pizza guy and crabs. My dad's from Florida, so I love seafood. Yeah, I love seafood, so I love that. And then for dessert, I'm a big cheesecake guy. Cheesecake and like ice cream, like. That's what I love. So those be two things. What I don't like coconut. I just don't like coconut. Anything with coconut in it, I'm not eating. I'm just not doing it. It's like a texture thing. I don't like the texture. I don't really like the taste. I just don't like coconut. I'm not allergic or nothing, but I don't like coconut. Anything coconut, I'm just walking away.
Myself, I don't eat egg. That's
you don't eat eggs?
Like fried or scrambled, I do not eat egg, no.
What? That's crazy. Yeah. That's like the staple. That's how you get big.
So, on food, are you a good cook? And did you back yourself in the kitchen like you back yourself on the football field?
So this is a good story. So basically, freshman year, Oklahoma State, you know, we had everything for us and everything like that. So I really didn't cook that much, even though I could have. I really didn't cook that much. I really didn't know how, but I could cook a little, you know, a little simple thing. But then I went to SIU, you know, we didn't. SIU just has like a cafeteria if you're on campus, but since I'm off campus, you kind of have to, you know, get your own food. So I had to start learning to cook. Now, I'm not going to say, you know, I'm Chef Ramsay or nothing, but I can whip up a little some enough to survive, but I'm getting better. I'm still practicing at the house because, you know, preparing meals at the home and trying to eat healthy. I'm getting better though, for sure. But I mean, I'm not bad, but I'm not an expert chef. I'm somewhere in the middle.
What's your specialty, do you think, at this point?
My best dish, probably the Cornish hen with the steamed green beans and lemon pepper with the homemade mashed potatoes. And then, you know, I can do that.
Nice. You mentioned crab. There's me and Adam, a few others, always go to Seattle. We try and get over once a year. So if you do land in Seattle, we'll have to give you the crab hookup on game day. There's a couple who bring crab and reindeer sausage down from Alaska.
Ooh, so that sounds great.
Yeah, we've got the hookup on that if you do land in Seattle in a couple of weeks. I think appreciate your time. I really enjoyed trying to find tape in the next couple of weeks. Wish you the best of luck and hope to see you. Also hope you hear your name get called and we get to see you play on Sundays in the NFL. If people want to follow your journey, is there any social media they can catch you on and follow your?
They can follow me on Twitter, R Shaka on top. They can follow me on Instagram, GG Shaka on top. You know, so those two platforms. They can follow me. And thank you so much for having me. I mean, I really like doing stuff like this, and I really like, you know, talking to people. And I, you know, the fact that, you know, you're reaching out to me, that I, you know, I'm obviously, you know, a prospect. I mean, that just means a lot to me, and all the work that I put in is coming full circle. So I really appreciate that. And anybody else who's rooting for me.
An exciting time for you, so I do appreciate you jumping on. Wherever you land, just remember that I'll be in touch for the jersey hookup as well.
For sure, most definitely. you got it Well, easy. That's easy.
Thank you very much.
just because you get drafted doesn't mean that, you know, that's going to save you in between the lines. Yeah. You still got to perform. You still got to, you know, come up and play. You just whether it don't matter what round you go. You can go first round. That's not going to stop me from dominating you.